Yes. Do we need to do the spiel again now that we're recording?
No, we did it. We
Okay.
can all swear on something. Okay. So you just say present when your name is called. Chair Lieberman.
Present.
Alder Conklin.
Present.
Kurt Brink.
Present.
Kit Wong.
Present.
Taylor Gilbertson.
Present.
Quorum.
We have quorum. So now I'm going to read this. In a virtual meeting like this, it is particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's rules of order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and second for each agenda item unless it is noted for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. All right, we'll move on to our first order of business here, which is the approval of our previous meeting's minutes. Yep, and Gabby, you're one step ahead of me pulling up the
I'm not, I'm behind. I'm so sorry.
minutes. That's okay. All right, we've got the minutes up here. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Alder
Kurt,
Conklin.
your mic is off. I don't know if you're trying to.
Is there a second for the motion? Kit, I see your hand. Great. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of the motion? Right. Seeing no objection, the motion it passes unanimously. Going on our agenda. Next, we have public comment. Gabby, do we have anybody signed up for public comment?
I have a feeling that we now do. Let me check it quick.
Okay.
Sorry,
There.
just a watch list.
Sounds good. So are we good to move on to our next topic here? Okay. Moving on to disclosures and recusals. Are there any disclosures or recusals that members of the body need to make? All right, seeing none. We'll move on to item number five here, which is Legistar number 83091. It has a very long name, but it is pertaining to the chronic nuisance premises. So I will let folks read that whole title in their own time. And if you wouldn't mind pulling up the body of that, Gabby.
Is it
Is
showing?
there, so before we, yep, we can see it. Before we get into discussion, we do need a motion to advance this. Is there such a motion? Kurt, I see your hand. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Nikki. Folks, your videos are kind of small on my screen here, so verbal works a lot better for me, or clicking the raise hand button, because that automatically bumps you up the list, just so I don't have to scroll. But thank you. Okay, now that we are in discussion here, we are taking up the item. Do we have any public comment registered for just this item, Gabby?
No.
Okay. Then the next thing we move on to here is questions for staff and discussion. I know, yes, Alder Field. I see your hand up. I will go to you first, Alder Field.
Yeah, maybe, Chair, maybe now would be a good time to ask Attorney Zillaby, who helped author the ordinance change here, for an overview or just an explanation about what the difference is with this proposal compared to the current ordinance. Just a suggestion.
I think that is a good suggestion. Kurt, I did see your hand up. Do you have anything to say before we hand it over to Attorney Zillaby?
I'll wait till after.
Sounds good. Then, Attorney, the floor is yours.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Assistant City Attorney Jennifer Zillaby. I drafted the amendments to this ordinance at the request of Alder Field. And I don't know if everybody's familiar with this ordinance, so I'll just give you a brief overview before I get into the amendments. Although I do think Mr. Brink was around back in the day when we first enacted this. So it was enacted originally back in 2007. And at that time, the idea was that this would primarily be an ordinance of last resort in dealing with what I'll refer to as, quote, bad landlords. And for situations where we've tried to work with the landlords to abate nuisance activity and have not had good result. So we wanted an ordinance that would mandate the landlord or property owner to come to the table to work towards abating the nuisance activity. When this was adopted in 2007, the types of nuisance activities that were most common at rental properties were, or I shouldn't say just rental properties, but residential properties, were more of your general quality of life type nuisance activities, disturbances, noise, trespass, disorderly conduct. And since that time, the nature of nuisance activity has gotten more violent, and weapons are used more frequently. But to give you an idea of how, I would say, infrequently we use the ordinance, so the past 6 years, we've only declared a nuisance premises 7 times. In 2024, thus far, we've had 2 declarations. In 2023, we had 2 declarations. In 2022, we had 1 declaration. 2021, we had 0. 2020, we had 1. And in 2019, we had 1. So I think that illustrates how it really is a tool of last resort for us because of all the work we do on the front end. And when I say we, I mean me, the police department, now the Violence Prevention Unit and Public Health. So we all work together to try to get the nuisance activity abated at the property. And initially, the primary enforcement tool of the original ordinance was if there was enforcement action for nuisance activities in a 90-day period. So three enforcement actions for nuisance activities in a 90-day period. This doesn't mean that if there was a disorderly conduct incident on the property, that it would count as an enforcement action. An enforcement action has to be a physical citation issued for the activity, a physical arrest, or referral of charges to the city attorney or the district attorney. So it's not, it is pretty tight in terms of the enforcement actions and the nuisance activity. So what Alder Field wanted to do was basically create two categories of nuisance activity. So we still have the first category, which is the more quality of life type nuisance activities. And that stands the same, that three enforcement actions trigger the ability to declare a chronic nuisance premises. One little tweak to that is now instead of three enforcement actions in 90 days, it's three enforcement actions in 60 days. And then the new category is for crimes involving firearms and other weapons and crimes that result in serious bodily injury, including death. And that new provision allows for a chronic nuisance declaration to be had if two of those types of activities occur in a 6-month period and there is probable cause to associate those nuisance activities with the property. There is not a requirement for an enforcement action with that category, and that is because of for example, if there's a shooting, it may take some time before there's actually an enforcement action. But given the serious nature of that offense, we don't want to be prohibited from declaring a chronic nuisance premises because of the serious nature of that type of activity. So those are the two primary focus changes in the ordinance. The previous ordinance also included domestic abuse, domestic violence as a potential nuisance activity. It also had very specific actions that the police and I would have to take before we could use a domestic violence activity as a nuisance activity. And in the many years that the ordinance has been enacted, we have never used a domestic abuse offense as a nuisance activity. So I thought it would be best to completely exempt domestic abuse cases from being able to be considered as a nuisance activity, and also added several other offenses that are more victim-centered, such as stalking, restraining order violations. So those are all now completely exempted from the ordinance, and that type of offense cannot trigger the ordinance. Another addition to the ordinance is that now there's language that states the police department can accept, reject, or modify a proposed plan of abatement. In practice, that's how it has worked. When we've met with property owners, they've said, well, we'll do this, this, and this, and we've worked together to strategize, what are most effective tools to abate the nuisance activity. And then also added language that any abatement plan must be implemented within 45 days of the declaration of the chronic nuisance premises. And previously, there was no language that required implementation of a plan within a certain time period. And it's just important to have a timeline so that we can keep holding the property owner accountable for the things that they say they're going to do to abate the nuisance activity. Um, And basically what the first chronic nuisance declaration that goes out to the landlord or property owner requires them to meet with the city within 10 days of receipt of the letter. And they're supposed to come to the table with an abatement plan. However, that doesn't happen that often. Usually they'll meet and then we work together on an abatement plan, because sometimes they are not fully aware of strategies they can employ to abate the nuisance activity. And I know that's a lot of information and it's a long, lengthy ordinance and kind of complicated, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Thank you. That was a very thorough and enlightening explanation. I do have a question, and this could go to you or to Alder Field. Just looking at the list of chronic nuisance offenses, which starts on page 3 and continues on to page 4, some of these jumped out to me as offenses which historically have been enforced in a non-equitable way racially, and which may not in themselves really be strictly a nuisance thing, or that wouldn't always be viewed that way, such as possession of synthetic marijuana, having an open container of alcohol. From an equity standpoint, what do we do to make sure that, how was this list selected, and how are we making sure that racial inequality in the enforcement of laws isn't playing a factor here?
Well, do you want to answer that, Alderfield?
I just want to briefly say I had a very similar thought when reading through the original ordinance, especially about synthetic marijuana. Attorney Zilvy, I wanted to ask you to speak to that piece, kind of how we had a similar exchange a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. The offenses aren't offenses against the tenant. It's when this activity is occurring on the premises, it's a trigger to cause the landlord to take measures to abate the nuisance activity. And the properties that we work with when there is nuisance activity, one of the things that the tenants ask is, why can't these people be evicted? Why can't these people be evicted, the people who are creating the nuisance activity? And I know there is a strong desire to not evict people, but the reality is there are some people that do need to be evicted so that those who are law-abiding and doing everything they can do to keep their housing can in fact keep their housing and live in a peaceful, safe environment.
Attorney Zilvy, do you mind elaborating on the difference between synthetic marijuana and why that matters here?
Right. Well, and the synthetic marijuana it's not legal in any way, shape, or form. Synthetic marijuana is that they used to refer to it as bath salts. It's a chemically based substance that causes, it can cause death. It can cause extreme reactions. So it's not like marijuana.
And it's not these Delta 8 and Delta 9, which have become very
common.
No.
Those would not be considered synthetic. Synthetic is, I think K2 was another name for it.
I see.
It's that dangerous substance that has caused deaths and has caused psychotic reactions in children and adults who have ingested it.
Drug law is definitely not an area of expertise of mine, so I appreciate the clarification there. And it does sound like this is going through equity analysis separate from this, correct?
You mean the ordinance as a whole?
Yes.
That I do not know. Like applying
I
the
don't know
tool
if.
to it?
Yes. I just didn't know if that was still to come with this ordinance. But I can take that question later if we don't know it right away. Kurt, you've had your hand up for a while, so I will move to you for your comment.
Okay, the question I have is, not having been involved in a nuisance before, it's all on the landlord. The critical issue becomes, how does the person that is causing the problem or has a firearm in that building part of the process, or how do we know that if you're trying to rent, that they've been part of a nuisance ordinance? And when the meeting is with a landlord, is that tenant that is part of the nuisance ordinance in there part of the problem? That is the person causing the problem. And Attorney Zilby, I'm not sure how that works out, but, and are you allowed to do an expedited eviction other than the normal process of which you have to go through and to help prevent this and not be in trouble for not running to an individual that caused a problem, or how do we know they were a problem causer before? Because I don't see anything that goes towards here is that the tenant is responsible for any and is responsible for it. And how do we prevent that behavior from happening in the next place?
Right. Good questions. Well, the nuisance act to be able to declare it a chronic nuisance premises, at least for the first tier of offenses, there is going to be some type of enforcement action. So a citation, an arrest, or referral to the district attorney. So the person creating the nuisance or engaged in the nuisance activity would have a most likely a citation or charges in the DA's office for the offense. So backgrounding that individual could discover that information. And that's really one of the keys to not having it happen in the first place is thorough screening of potential tenants. And I think.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to supplement that with maybe a slightly different framing or perspective that gets at more of my intentions too, because I think it's not always the case that the tenants of a premises are the cause of the nuisance offenses. So an example might be for example, activity happening on a premises that involves off-premises folks coming to a premises and participating in chronic nuisance activity in a way that should be prevented. And so hypothetically under an abatement plan, changes to the built environment of the premises could be, the premises might agree to make some changes to prevent this kind of thing too. So that's, I would say, just how I'm approaching my intentions with this proposal.
An example of that would be that there was one property that had a rather large surface parking lot and had no parking plan, no permits, basically no control of the parking lot. And so the parking lot became the scene of a lot of nuisance activity and things happening in the parking lot. And once they implemented a parking plan, which was really simple to do in terms of everybody had to have a parking permit. Their vehicle had to be up to date on its registration. And if those two things were not on the vehicle was towed. They had a contract with a towing company. And when they implemented that strategy, that solved the issue of all the nuisance activity that was occurring in the parking lot. Even so, it wasn't just residents, it was people coming, you know, friends of residents or even not friends of residents, but just people coming because they knew it was an uncontrolled environment where they could engage in their nuisance activity.
Are there any other questions for staff or members wishing to speak? All right, seeing none, we will consider the motion. Excuse me, I lost my little Robert's Rules guide here.
Hey, Chair.
Yes.
Do you mind if I share just a couple of remarks before we move through to the end of debate or discussion?
Please do.
Thank you. So I wanted to just take a few moments to further explain why I'm working on this and some of my intent behind it. So I do know a few of you, but for those who I haven't met yet, I'm Derek Field, pronouns he, him. I'm the alder of the 3rd District in the far east side of town. So I learned about the chronic nuisance ordinance and its process last year. I was new to this role, and after seeing a couple of residential properties on the far east side that were struggling with issues of violence, in particular, a pattern of gun violence at a property in my district. After seeing that play out and trying to figure out how to work with them and support the community, I wanted to better understand how properties became eligible for a nuisance order and how the resulting abatement plan process works. So that abatement, the nuisance abatement plan, is designed to be a constructive process where the property and the city agree on a plan to make changes, hopefully to improve safety for residents. So some hypothetical examples include securing access to a parking lot for non-residents, adding lighting, improving maintenance, or something as simple as fixing bullet holes on the side of the property. Sometimes that's not going to be done organically by a landlord, unfortunately. So it didn't seem right in this case that offenses that make a property eligible for a chronic nuisance order would treat violent and nonviolent offenses equally. I see a good case for more urgency and a lower threshold for the violent cases. And so that's some of my rationale here. I wanted to let the committee know also, I did work with Alder JL Curry on this proposal. She's the alder of a nearby East Side district who has herself been working really hard in the last year to support her constituents who are living at a different struggling property that was declared a chronic nuisance last year. And so I won't speak for her on what that experience has been like, but I wanted to share that her involvement and experience with a similar property and its nuisance abatement plan has helped to shape the content of this proposal. And I wanted to highlight that she's a co-sponsor as well. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you. Noah, you're muted.
Yeah, that would do that. Alder Conklin, I see your hand. Your video is off, by the way, Alder Conklin.
Thank you, Chair. Give me one second, sorry. Yes, so my first question is for the attorney. Attorney, can you say that we didn't have any nuisance abatement in 2020 because of the pandemic?
I would say that probably had a lot to do with it.
Okay. And then my second point too, I want to just follow up on what Alder Field said, because I too have a property, 7933, that used the nuisance abatement, nuisance abatement project, I guess we'll call it. And I just want to say that, you know, like, it is a very last tool, but I think it's a very important tool. And I think, again, if we're making it more in favorable for the tenants, I think that this would be a very good project or start of how we're going to help eliminate some problems, you know, in our community and things. So if we're just really holding strong to the landlords and making sure that they're doing everything in their power to keep their property safe for tenants to live in, I think that this is a very, very favorable thing that we're doing to keep the residents safe here in Madison. And I love how you guys took it from 90 days to 60 days. I think the shorter amount of time period, the quicker that we can get things going, the quicker we can get into contact with the property owners and make a plan, the better. So I really hope that that everybody can support this and we can push this along and have this, you know, readily available for when it is necessary. Thank you.
Great.
And now, yeah.
Anybody else have a comment? Seeing nobody else with comment, on the motion to approve this ordinance, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote on this item? Seeing no objection, the motion passes unanimously. Our next agenda item, number 6, 83407, is an update on the combined committee process from our city staff folks.
I think I can give some updates about that. It's my understanding that this new combined committee will be in place around November of this year. The main reason for that is that the other committee needs to present some statistics or something that they are doing every year, you know, basically a report of what they have been doing during the year, and there are other things that need to be done to implement that. So that is the update in that. As far as I know, I don't know if Gabby knows something else or something.
Nope, that's what I had too. It's the housing snapshot, I think.
Yeah, that's the tool that they name with what they have been doing the committee. So it's something that, you know, we will see in around November of this year.
Alder Conklin.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the update. I'm just wondering, do we have any plan or idea, like everyone who's already on the committee, are we welcome to the new committee, or is this something that we're going to have to apply for? And or do we know the makeup of what the committee is going to be yet, and who decides that?
All great questions. I don't believe that everyone will be on the committee, just because I don't think we're going to have that many spots on the committee. But I'm also not sure because it will be a larger committee. So if it's not everyone, I believe it'll be most people. And what my understanding was, we were going to take what was in the ordinance for this that makes up this committee and says, like, oh, you need a, you know, landlord representative, you need a tenant representative, and combine it with the requirements from the other committee. But I don't know if that's going to be hashed out between the people who are sponsoring, or who exactly is going to make those decisions, but I can follow up and let you know.
Yeah, that is also my understanding, and something that I believe Matt mentioned in the last meeting is that, you know, it will make total sense for members of the committee to apply to be part of the new committee, because you have been working in this committee and have the knowledge of what they are looking for and things like that. So that is my take on that. I think, other Conklin, do you have other questions?
No, that was everything. Yeah, I just wanted to know, like, since it is bigger, but, you know, we're from one committee, I was just kind of wondering if we were going to have the first dibs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. Anybody else have questions or comments on this topic? All right, seeing none, we can move on to our last topic here, which was any topics or issues folks wanted to discuss in our future meetings. Kurt. Oh, there you go.
Probably an update on housing strategies, and they've got some great goals, and so we're just up to date on where they're at and what they're doing, maybe look at their agenda. So just reacquaint us.
Yeah, I think that that would be good to have there if we could get somebody from that committee or a city staff person who's working with them to give us an update on what they're working on. That would be great. Anybody else have any topics or issues they want added to future meeting agendas? Nikki. Sorry, Alder Conklin. Almost got through the whole meeting without flipping. Sorry.
That's okay, Chair. Thank you. I was just kind of wondering, too, where are we with the mobile home trailer park? If we can get an update on that. I can't remember if we finished that or not. If then, you know, no update needed, but I don't remember what happened when we were, like, you know, trying to make the mobile home parks, if they sold them, you know. I don't know what happened to that. So if somebody could remind me, or if we could get an update next time, maybe.
Alder, not sure what happened. I know something did happen. But I'm going to have to look it up and see where that ordinance landed and what we decided to do with it. So I can do that, and I can just send an email update, or if there's more to talk about, make it an item on the next agenda.
That'll be great. Thank you so much, Gabby. Anybody else have items they wish to discuss? Right. Seeing none. Is there a motion? Oh, sorry, I did not see that. Chris Belly.
Yeah. I think I would like to talk a little bit about what push essentially the city or building inspector have when landlords don't want to abide the rent with the rent abatement portion that are due to tenants. I'm not sure if you guys have talked about that before, but I would just like some information on that if possible.
So that ends up under the purview of the city attorney's office.
Okay. So, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and I can give out more information if you'd like more information. Like,
yeah,
by email.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Jose Maria, are you trying to say something?
No, I think we can have an update about the what Chris Bell say about the when landlords they are not paying the rent abatement to tenants. We can give an update or have more information about that from the city attorney.
Okay. Great. Anybody else? All right. Seeing none, is there a motion and a second to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
All right. Thank you, Alder Conklin. Kurt, I see your hand to second. So with that, we are adjourned. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.